one verse. Do you think you can keep this one sort of locked away in your minds? This might be a good one to memorize. And it says in John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word. Now, what's the Word? So if you go back to the beginning of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? So when you come to verse 14, it says, the Word, God, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so that's really what Christmas time is all about. Christmas is about the Word becoming flesh, making his dwelling among us, and revealing the glory of the Father as the one and only from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so I just want to unpick that a little bit to help us sort of understand a little bit more what Christmas is really about and what it means. So the first thing, the most important thing, God took on human nature. That's what this verse is telling us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. God took on human nature. Why does the Bible tell us that? Well, one of the challenges that we all have, and probably you have thought about this at some point in your life, is how do I get to be on good terms with God? How do me and God get to be friends? How do I get to be in God's good books, maybe? How do I be on good terms with the big man upstairs? How do I make that happen? Well, if you're going to have a good relationship with someone, you've got to be able to get to know them, don't you? You can't say, well, you know, I know, who's the new guy in America? Biden, Joe Biden. Me and Biden, I think we'd be good mates. Well, I can't say that because I've never met him. He wouldn't know me from a bar of soap. And so there's no relationship between us. And so I can't say I know him and we're going to be mates. And it's the same with God. How can you and I get to be on good terms with God? How can we get to be in God's good books if we don't know him? And that's the problem, isn't it? The problem that we all face is that we can't get to know God. And so people try different ways, and you, maybe you've tried this. Some ways I've heard of sort of getting into God's good books are things like maybe you might go on a bit of a fast, don't eat for a couple of days. You know, Moses and these guys, Jesus and John the Baptist, they fasted. Maybe if I tried a bit of that, God might notice. Maybe if I kept some rules, 10 commandments, you know, you shall not spit, you shall not swear, okay, you shouldn't take the TV remote, all right, hog it. Maybe if I kept some rules, maybe if I say some Hail Marys, and forgive me if you grew up Roman Catholic, but sometimes people think that that's what we should do, you know, that might get me in God's good books. Or maybe I should go on a pilgrimage somewhere. Maybe go to Mecca, or maybe go to the Vatican, or maybe go somewhere else that's important. And you see, well, the problem with all of those ways that we try is that that doesn't bring us into a relationship with God. We can't get to know God. And so what this verse tells us is that the Word, or God himself, became flesh. God took to himself human nature. God took to himself a real body. You know, that's why the Christmas story is such an exciting story, isn't it? Because what? It's about this baby. We go, what's the relevance of a little baby? You know, just skip that and get to the important part. You know, Jesus dies on the cross for our sins. But actually, that baby is important. Why? Because that's how humans get to exist. Who got here without becoming a baby? Nobody. Right? You can't skip babyhood. Everybody has to go through babyhood in order to get to adulthood. And so when we see Jesus born in the manger, and we talk about little baby Jesus, we're reminded that he really did, God did come to our place and into human society as a real human being. He grew up. We know that you know, he's a 12-year-old. He got a bit distracted talking with others. He got left behind, remember, and his parents thought that he was in another family's car, and he wasn't. He got left back at Jerusalem, and so they had to go back and find him, and his mother sort of growled him a bit. And we know that he grew up into adulthood, and then of course he started his teaching ministry. But he was a human being. He would have looked like us. He would have felt just like us. He had a beating heart. He was flesh and blood. He got hungry. He got tired. He loved people. He got angry about things. He was fully God, fully human being, and yet without sin. And so John says, the Word, or God, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Literally, he tented with us. Earlier in the Bible, I don't know if you know this, but you read about another tent, and it was a special tent that the Israelites were told to make. Were they told to make that tent? Well, they were told to make that tent, sometimes it's referred to as a tabernacle, so that people could meet with God. And yet here we're told that God comes in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus comes to us, and he tabernacles, or he pitches his tent among us. And so the question of how can I get to God? How can I have a relationship with God? How can I get in God's good books is answered by this. God comes to us. You know, it's like that relative that you've been meaning to catch up with for a long time. You know, they live up north or they live down in the South Island. And then one day they ring you up, or they just come and knock on your door and they say, hey, I thought I'd pop in and see you. And you say, wow, I've been meaning to come and visit you. And they just pop in. And it's like, wow, it's so good to see you. Thanks for coming. So God, when he looks at us and he sees the mess that we get ourselves in and the condition that we get ourselves in and how we try and fix our own problems, he says, I know exactly what these people need. I will come to them. I will come and find them. I will come and meet with them and speak with them in a way that they can understand. You know how we all try to fix ourselves? It doesn't work, does it? Or maybe it works for a while. Coming up to New Year's time, that's when we all make our New Year's resolutions. We're going to stop doing something, or we're going to start doing something. We're going to start running or exercising more, stop eating, eat less, or whatever it is. And you know, you and I know how that's a struggle. Or maybe we kind of fool ourselves. We think that we are making ourselves into better people by comparing ourselves to others. But God, he sees our need and he realizes how hard it is. And so he does exactly what you and I need. He sends the Lord Jesus Christ, the only God at the Father's side. He comes. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And what that means is that when you see Jesus, who do you see? When the disciples spent time with Jesus, who were they actually spending time with? And who were they, you know, hanging out with and eating food and traveling around and things like that? They were with God himself. That's right. With eternal God, who had taken to himself our flesh and blood in order to save them. Isn't that mind-blowing? It's kind of hard. That's what Christmas is all about. That God himself came down here. And something that was, you know, previously so dangerous. Remember the, you know, when the Israelites, maybe you don't know the story, but maybe you do. It's when God came down to give the Ten Commandments, and there's thunder and lightning and earthquakes, and the people are afraid. And God says to Moses, go and tell the people, don't touch the mountain. Otherwise, what? They're going to die. It's a dangerous place in the presence of God, because God is holy, God is powerful, and we are unholy, and you know, we can't access his presence, and it fills us with fear. I remember when I was a young guy, a friend of mine, he said, oh, I'm going to come around. And I forgot that he was coming around. And then suddenly I was outside, and he appeared around the side of the house. I'm committed to this story. He appeared around the side of the house, and he was really shaken up looking, and I was like, hey, what happened? And he goes, oh, man. He goes, I thought you were in your room, And I was like, oh no. And I realized that, so my parents had been hosting a pastor from overseas, and he was a very important, he was like head of a big church, he wore black suits, white dog collar, you know, and all that, and he was like really scary guy when you were a kid, and didn't smile, didn't laugh much. And he goes, I thought you were in your room, and I went into your room, and he was in there, and he was getting dressed. And he was so embarrassed and afraid, and he thought the earth was going to open up and swallow him, because he had been in and seen this pastor, this minister, sort of semi-naked. I don't know what he saw, but he was freaked out because he had gone into the presence of something which he didn't think he should have been or should have seen. And that's what it's like with God, isn't it? You know, you and I, we can't get access to God. And yet the amazing thing is it says here, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And we, isn't this incredible? We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. The glory of the one and only. This idea of holiness, this idea of magnificence, this idea of power, this idea of unapproachableness. And John saw God when he spent that time with the Lord Jesus, when he saw the miracles, when he heard the words, when he saw Him transfigured on the mountain, when he saw Him crucified, when he saw Him resurrected. And so seeing Jesus is to see the thing that you've been looking for. If you're old enough, there's that song, you know, you too. Still haven't found what I'm looking for. It's very tuneful of me. You know, what's that song about? We know that you two guys, they're Christians. So you're looking for something and you can't find it. And Jesus is exactly what we need, isn't He? He's exactly what you and I need to find. He's what you and I are looking for. And what this verse says to us is, turn away from all the cheap substitutes. What are the substitutes? Food, drink, money. What did you say? Drugs, yeah, take your mind off it. You know, education, stuff, you know, buy stuff, relationships, all of those things. We try and satisfy ourselves, don't we, with those things. We try and fill our lives with those things so we don't have to think about what the problems are or the deep issues in our lives are or the things that are really hurting us. Have you done that? Are you doing that? Try and take your mind off stuff so you don't have to think about what's really hurting you and causing you stress. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory as of the glory of the one and only Son of God. Jesus has come. He's exactly what you're looking for. Jesus has come in human form, Jesus of Nazareth. And to see Jesus with the eyes of faith is to see Him as His disciples saw Him, and is to see exactly what God knows that you need. And what is that? We have seen His glory, says John, as the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, the coming of Jesus was the biggest event that was had ever happened in the whole history of planet Earth. Bigger than Moses, bigger than King David, bigger than John the Baptist, bigger than Muhammad, bigger than any of these other things. Jesus is the most momentous event because this is God Himself in His glory who's come to save us. And in Jesus, God's salvation is something that is freely offered. Notice He says here, grace and truth to all who don't deserve it, they get something free. You know, this is what I love about Christmas. What are you getting for Christmas? What are you getting me for Christmas? What do you deserve for Christmas? Eh? What do you deserve for Christmas? You see, we often think, and sometimes, you know, it's hard when we're kids. We look at what other people are getting. Oh, he got whatever it is, a PlayStation, or she got a Barbie, or I can't think it, you know. We do that as adults as well. We know that. We compare what other people have got, and we're getting, and we think, well, I deserve, you know, if his wife bought him a new iPhone, you know, shouldn't I get a new iPhone too? 12. Shouldn't I get one? And we do that, don't we? We think that we deserve stuff. We think that we've earned stuff. But the story of the Bible is that, you know, when Jesus comes and he reveals the glory of God the Father, and he reveals it, what does he reveal? It says here, he came from the Father full of grace and truth. It's a reminder that what Jesus comes and brings to you and I at Christmas time is something that we don't deserve, we can't earn. We don't get it because we're related to someone else who's a Christian. You know, my uncle, he was a Christian all of his life. My grandmother, she always went to church. You know, God, you should be good to me because my grandmother. No, it's something that is free, isn't it? It's something we don't have to try and go back and find someone we're related to or work for or earn. You know, what Jesus brings at Christmas time is salvation that is freely offered, grace and truth. You know, that we know that this grace is paid for by Jesus. Grace, the idea of this word grace is that it's a free gift, isn't it? And Jesus, when he died on the cross, he purchased forgiveness for you and me, and he gives it to us just like a totally unexpected present at Christmas time. Something we didn't even think that it was coming. Something that we didn't, a person we didn't even know, and that we wouldn't have expected anything from them. A gift of forgiveness. And because we need it, don't we? You know, we need it. Sometimes at Christmas time, we realize how much we need God's grace, God's forgiveness. Maybe you've been struggling with things like anger or spitefulness. You know, sometimes we have the usual list of rules of the Ten Commandments: don't kill, don't steal, and things like that. We go, yeah, I'm good. But we forget about the things like that, like lust, like envy, like greed, like selfishness, laziness, prejudice, racism, sexism, pornography, dishonesty, self-centeredness. You know, these are all just things in our hearts that are always there and bubbling away, aren't they? And we need forgiveness for those things. And so Christmas is God's gift to us. It's God's free forgiveness, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's grace and truth, folks. It's not fake. It's not like, oh, sorry. If anybody said sorry to you like that, oh, sorry. Oh, sorry. And you go, yeah, I forgive you. It's really genuine, isn't it? Yeah, sorry. Yeah, no worries, mate. It's all good. It's grace and truth, isn't it? It's true. It's genuine. It's to know Jesus is to know the only person who was ever truly genuine, and ever when he said something, it was the absolute truth. There's never a lie left his lips. When he looked at somebody, he only looked at them with pure holiness and love, never lust, never hatred, or never spitefulness. To know Jesus is to know absolute truth. Because he is the truth embodied in human form. If you've ever been let down, if you've ever been betrayed, if you've ever been rejected, Jesus will never do those things to you. The glory of God himself, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Never let you down, never sell you out, never turn you away. I used to love that ad on TV. Well, there are two ads. One was a billboard. One was a billboard of a man who was cutting that giant Lawsoniana hedge with a pair of clippers and a stepladder. And the slogan was, "That man deserves a DB. The other one was, you know, "Have you done enough for a mallow puff?" The guy mowing the lawns gets the lawnmower out and cuts a short piece, and he sits down and has a mallow puff. It's human nature, isn't it, to think about, what can I do in order to get in God's good books, to have a good relationship with God, to have God like me. Isn't that what we all want? We want God to like us. I want God to like me. I think it's pretty important to want God to like me. How do I get that to happen? How do I get God to get in God's good books? How do I get to have that relationship with him? Because it's only through relationship. Well, receive the free gift of Christmas. Receive God's free gift. It's the Word, God who became flesh, who dwells among us. And we see his glory. Glory is of the only one from the Father, full of grace and truth. That is what Christmas is about. So if you take nothing else away from Christmas time, take away the greatest gift, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. And we admit before you today that none of us here can ever do anything enough to get into your good books by our own efforts. We all come short. No matter who we are, where we were born, who our parents were, or what we've done or have not done in our lives. And so we thank you so much for Christmas time, because Christmas is a reminder that we can know you through the grace and truth that is in Jesus Christ, because you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, eternal Godhead, who took on human nature, flesh and blood, fully God, fully man, and who came and dwelt among us in order to save us. Lord, we praise you and thank you for that. And open our hearts, Lord. Maybe if we are just struggling to believe any of this stuff, Lord, just show us if it's true or not. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.